He is good. There is none like Him.
So good to be here this morning. And I'm so honored and so privileged to be accounted one of His servants. And I'm so happy again for all of our great men of God and our help that is here. Thank you, Jesus. And I get the opportunity to speak every once in a while. And I'm happy about that. Thank you, Lord. Brother Skinner talks about our singing. And, I want to talk about the preaching. Because we got good preachers.
Amen.
Yeah. We got great preachers. We got better than good.
Yeah.
Our good preachers may expound the word. And I happen to be of the opinion, and maybe you're not, and you do well, you do what you need to do. But I listen to all kind of preachers, sometimes on the radio and whatnot, and apologetics and all this other stuff. I believe if you're hungry enough, you can go to the trash can and get something out of it.
Yes, that's right.
Now, how? Well, I guess I can't say I bet never ate out of a trash can.
Right.
Papa. He used to go to all those leftovers and put it in the, the leftovers that they would throw out of stores because it was about out of date. And finally, the girls got old enough to figure out what he was doing. And no, they don't eat Papa's stuff. Hallelujah. When I listen to those and then they start talking about there's three persons in the Godhead, I just turn them off and go somewhere else because I know better. And they ain't none of them. They ain't nary one of them. I don't care how smart they are to convince me there's three gods.
No.
Right.
Because they have absolutely zero. Everybody say zero.
Zero.
There is absolutely zero.
Zero.
Right.
And they're taking great liberties and twisting the scripture to try to prove three gods.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Just like you have to take great liberties and twist the scriptures to celebrate the holidays that a lot of people that are so-called Christians celebrate.
Amen.
Right.
Matter of fact, back in the Bible days, it was Druids and Celtics, and it was just pagans that celebrated those type of days.
Right.
But the Roman Catholics figured, you know what? I tell you what, let's do. Let's just make all of this like Oprah Winfrey said. Let's just make it one big religion. And let's take some of this and some of that and put this all together.
Right.
And the church world as a whole, even so-called Pentecostal Christians bow at the altar of paganism a couple times a year.
Yeah.
And I pray for them that God would help them.
Yes.
Because I really just don't have enough understanding to know who it is that's going to stand before the Lord on that day. And they say, Lord, we cast out devils in Your name.
Right.
Now that lets me know they wasn't Trinitarians.
Right.
They wasn't Catholics. And they wasn't Church of God. And they wasn't Church of Christ. And those people is going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
Now you have to know Him and His power to cast out devils in His name.
Right.
But He said they worked iniquity. And like I said, I don't know who's going to fit in that category. So please don't twist my words. And people that hear it later on the internet, don't twist my words. You know what? I don't want to be in that group. I can tell you that.
Right.
And I want to make sure when I get there that He knows me and I know Him.
Hallelujah. Right. Yes, sir. Right.
You're going to know Him by the power of His might. And I want to know Him. So I don't want to let nothing stand in the way.
Right.
That's why we still preach in 2024 that women shouldn't cut their hair.
Right.
Because it's your glory. Why would you want to trim your glory?
Right.
Come on.
And we preach that men don't have long hair.
Right.
And I, as a pastor, have to be the one that draws that standard.
Right.
Hello? Because I'm on a safe standard. No, I don't feel like you have to have long sleeves to go to heaven.
All right.
But the only thing I got short sleeves is t-shirts.
Right.
You know why? Because I want to be an example for you.
Yes.
Somebody posted a caption on the internet and said, this is how our church world celebrates their God. And they have pastors and preachers. And some of them just have nothing but a white t-shirt on. And holes in their jeans.
Right.
And they got skinny jeans on. And they took away their pulpit.
Right.
And they've got all these big time preachers up there preaching that look like they look like they need to go to Walmart.
Right.
And get into the wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And because if the President of the United States, and I don't care who he is, even if he's one right now that we don't, we just don't think he's worth a whole lot in our personal opinion.
Right.
But if I knew he was coming to my church, I'm going to wear my best. And I'm going to go back there and shake his hand and say, Mr. Biden, you're going to stand before the Lord for what you do. And what I want you to do is make your heart right with the Lord. And you need to run to that altar and repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus. And I want to see you filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want to see you change and meet God with clean hands.
Right.
Wow.
But I'm not going to come in my skinny jeans because I don't have none.
Right.
And I'm not going to come in the same clothes I wear at Walmart. I'm not even going to wear C-Max clothing. You know, the Pagani I work for tells you how to dress.
Right.
And then in that same caption down below it, they've got how the sports world celebrates their gods. Mm-hmm. And they got ESPN commentators. And you know what they got on? A suit and tie and a jacket. And their hair is just right. And they're looking good.
Yeah.
And you have the comparison of six preachers and six sports people. And the sports people look so much better than preachers. You know what's happened? We've let down our guard. And we've compromised for the sake of making people feel good. I don't want you to feel comfortable when you come to the apostle, Lord, I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
John said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to tie your stinking shoes. Now, he didn't say stinking, I did. But that's what the reference was. Hey, folks, back then they was walking around. You know, there was animal stuff on the streets.
Yeah, right.
And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy to bend over and tie your shoes. Yeah. You want me to baptize you? No, Lord, not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Right.
And the Lord said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you don't do this, you're not going to have your part.
Right.
Oh, Lord, wash me then. Cleanse me, make me right. And I might have combined two stories there. But you know what I'm talking about. These men didn't feel worthy to be with Jesus.
Right.
Not every one of them.
Amen.
And I want to feel that way when I'm in His presence. So we're not coming to church to feel comfortable.
Right.
Right. We're not coming to church to feel good.
Right.
Oh, it's the seeker-sensitive movement. Listen. I'm not making church comfortable if somebody's seeking God.
Right.
I'm making it very confrontational. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And if I want to be like Him, I got to do what He done.
All right.
He made the church folks feel uncomfortable.
Right.
He called them snakes and vipers.
Right.
And He tried to love the sinner folks, but they didn't feel uncomfortable.
Right.
You know why? Because after He talked to them for a little bit, in His kindness, He would confront their sin.
Right.
Like that woman at the well. And you know what she done? She ran off and said, y'all need to come see a man that told me everything I've done. You know what our world would do nowadays?
Come on.
He kind of called me a loose boy. I said that real nice for you.
Yeah.
He said, I was the doctor.
Right.
They don't know what I need.
Yeah.
Right.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What a sissified generation.
Amen.
God help us all.
Amen.
Let us in this church raise men that will stand for truth.
Yeah.
And women that will stand for truth. You know what? I've not been so concerned about my feelings. I'm concerned about His.
Yeah, right.
I'm not concerned about me. I'm concerned about Him. That makes good marriage partners, by the way.
Yeah.
When you're concerned about the other one and their feelings more than yours.
Right.
And it makes good marriage partners to Jesus, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, we are the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, help us, Lord. And all that was free.
All right.
I'm going to teach a little bit today about our reputation and our character.
All right.
Our reputation and our character. In nearly every high-profile political case and race we see in America, the issues and those elections, they often take a back seat to the unusual, overwhelming concern about the personalities involved. Image consultants are hired. Tactical experts and various other specialties are often brought in. And they come into these campaigns and they try to soften or strengthen their own candidate image while at the same time destroying somebody else. While they're doing everything in their power to destroy another person, they try to lift themselves up. We frequently see candidates and other people and their assistants using these tactics to maximize
muddying the needs of their constituency with a false impression of the person who is about to gain office or trying to gain office. Since much of this world has now gone from a moral philosophy to the present immoral or abnormal one, how one appears to the world has this readily overtaken substance of who we are and what we represent. Phrases like perception is reality have become mantras for many who want others to view them in a positive manner without the responsibility of acting accordingly. Can I read that again? Phrases like perception is reality have become mantras for many who want others to view them in a positive manner without the responsibility of acting accordingly.
Right.
What we see is very often not what we get.
Yeah.
That was Flint Wilson that said, what you see is what you get. But the homogenized version we see portrayed, it is usually after the fact that these situations come to life to their fullest. And as we look in life's rearview mirror, the name, listen, Adolf Hitler, for instance, brings immediate thoughts and views about who he was and what he did and the impact that his life has on history and the people of his time, and obviously very negative views. I haven't met anybody that thought Adolf Hitler was a good man.
Right.
I've yet to meet him.
Right.
The same is true when a person talks or thinks about Jesus Christ, which usually is positive. And if it isn't, we write them off real quick and go, uh-oh.
Right.
I've had people in many instances that would come and confront me and say, you know what? We've had more religious worlds, wars, and people have been killed more over religion than anything else in the world.
Right.
You know what my response is to that? That's not my Jesus.
Right.
You're taking some Old Testament scriptures and the Old Testament mentality and applying it to the man called Jesus, and that was not my Jesus.
Right.
Somebody say amen?
Amen.
One time he picked up a whip. And he was proving a point, didn't hit anybody. And they all thought he was gone mad. Some of them think, wait a minute, whoa, I'm following a mad Jesus now. Mm-hmm. You know what he was mad? He was mad because of the religious institution and what they had made it. Like many today that, whoa, this is holy water. Jesus' name. You can buy this for $5 and you'll be healed.
Right.
And they sell what we used to call snake oil and all of these programs and all of these things. And I've got this book. And if you buy this book, your life will change it all. Listen, the gospel isn't for sale.
All right.
You can't even buy it with money. You don't have enough to buy it. Your name was Donald Trump or whatever it may be. You don't have enough money to buy this gospel.
Right.
In fact, it is generally true for anyone whom we have connection. We see people and we refer to them because of their reputation. People leave us with an impression or a certain impact, positive or negative, in our own minds. We see it as their reputation. And sometimes if we're not careful, we judge someone early by their reputation, someone early by their name. Like I've never heard of a woman named Jezebel.
Right.
I've never met a man yet named Judas. Now I've heard some countries that might use these names. But it's probably because they're not very scripturally smart and understand what these names represent. It wasn't because Jezebel was just a loose woman and wore makeup. One of the first ones that we ever see in the Bible was Jezebel. It's not because of those character traits.
Right.
But even my Bible, Elder Skinner, tells me that God gave that wicked witch a space to repent.
That's because I serve that kind of God, a compassionate God. You see, He's not about murder and killing and pillaging and all of those things. That's not what my Jesus is about. He's about life and giving life more abundantly and giving us true peace. Somebody say true peace.
True peace.
Man, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah. There's a post that I reposted. It was really, really great. I began to read this post, and the professor was talking about why there is no God. And this young student who was very, very smart, he said, "Well, professor," because the professor talked to him about if there's a loving God, why did He create evil? And this young lad said, "Well, professor, you know, there really is no evil. Just like professor, there really is no cold.
Right.
Professor, there is really no darkness. You know that, right, professor? You see, evil is an absence of God.
Uh-huh.
And it's a word we put on to categorize something. Darkness is really man's idea of the absence of light. But really, there's only an absence of light.
Right.
And an absence of God.
Yes.
And an absence of heat.
Right.
You see, I don't serve a God that created evil. I will argue with preachers and people about this. I don't serve a God that created... Well, didn't God create all things? God is good. And every good and perfect gift coming from above. Man...
Right.
Done the evil. God just said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a free choice."
Right.
Yeah. Think about it.
Yes, sir.
My God don't go around raping and murdering and killing and hurting children.
No.
No, 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 no. That's not a God. Why would I serve a God that allows all that?
Right.
Because you serve a God that gives you a choice.
Right.
That's why we are just a little bit lower than the angels. Because God gives us a choice.
Right.
They don't have a choice to worship. They was created to worship, and brother, when they started, they worship, and they worship until there's no more.
Right.
They only. God allowed them one choice, and that was, who are you going to worship? Who are you going to praise? I'm glad I know that I serve Him, and He is good, and He is light. And everything that's good comes from Him.
Amen.
People often associate a reputation or a good name as a top priority in which we should strive for. My dad used to teach us as young boys and later men growing up, "You carry my name wherever you go, and you represent me well." And you know what? He was putting something in us to care about who we are as a person. And then later on, he let us know, "Listen, not only are you a texture, but you're a child of the King."
Right.
All right. One time I sat down at the table and had a long talk with a discussion over some immoral actions. And I would just put us all in the same boat as his three sons. And my dad began to weep. And he began to weep because we were just being young men. And he said, "You know what, boys? You see, we didn't know. We didn't know his background. We didn't know there was things that he was trying to live down. He was trying to live down an old reputation."
Right.
And people would still judge him for that. Until the day he died. We didn't know that man. And all he was trying to do was save us. In fact, our reputation should be important to us. Especially as how they relate to our fellow man and, of course, God. However, we see in many cases that reputations are often more manufactured than even real. This leaves us wondering, is a good reputation all there is to the equation? Or is there more to it? Webster's New World Dictionary defines reputation as the estimate or the estimation in which a person or thing is commonly held, whether favorable or not. It's character in view of the public or the community. What is unfortunate about some people's limited concept of reputation is that what we often see and believe about someone may or may not be totally who that person is. I can mention more names. Jimmy Swaggart.
Right.
I love to hear what Jimmy sing. Well, he was a great preacher.
Right.
His reputation versus his cousin. You know who his cousin was? Jerry Lewis. One had a great reputation, one had a horrible one. It so happened that the great man, his reputation was above his character.
Right.
See, character, someone said, is who you are in the dark. Character is what I am when I'm all alone.
Right.
Or you don't know me. My wife sees more of me than you see. She knows more about me than you know.
Right.
She really knows if I'm a Christian or not. Because she sees me when I'm mad.
Right.
She's heard me say a few things that I'm not proud of.
That's right, sir.
Y'all get quiet.
Come on.
That's good.
Character is who I am. Nobody's around.
Right.
And nobody's watching over my shoulder. And it's only me and the Lord. That's why it's important that you find your place where you can steal away and you can talk with God. You see, this building, if it can talk, knows all of my sins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's things I confess here that I haven't confessed to my wife.
Right.
It was only me and the Lord.
That's right.
Right.
And these concrete walls.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah.
And when you find that place and you meet with God there, He honors that humility.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Only God can change who you really are.
Brother Vince was weeping on Wednesday night, and someone commented about the brokenness. And I said, told him, don't you feel bad about that. Don't you dare feel, because that's what God wants and God
needs.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If God's going to use anybody, He's going to use the broken.
Oh, yes.
Why do you think when altar call is given, for the most part, most of the time, Elder Skinner is the first one here?
Right, right.
It's not a character flaw in him.
Right.
And if you think so, you need to go pray.
Yes.
It's humility that God honors. We don't feel worthy. We don't feel worthy. Somebody say, I don't feel worthy.
I don't feel worthy.
But I'm glad I'm not saved based upon my feelings.
Right.
I don't worship based upon my feelings.
Right.
It causes me to be broken and pray and cry because I want to make sure I'm right with God. That don't mean He's went out and sinned.
Right.
That means we never want to get to a place and come back and say,
can we get together?
Pastor, you know who I am? I've been preaching for 20 years.
Right.
God spews that kind out of His mouth.
Yeah.
It's that humble prayer that He hears. That brokenness. It's especially true those whom have a limited exposure, those who are good at hiding the real person behind a facet of deception. It's a trait evident in many circles called politics, business, religion today. The philosopher Albert Herbert said this, probably put it in the most succinct way regarding reputation in its own merit, meaning a man's reputation. Listen to this. Wouldn't know his own character if they met on the street. It's especially true when people of renown, political people and actors and athletes, whose reputations are often skewed by the media and others, often leaving an impression that may or may not be who or what that person actually is. As Hubbard revealed, the real defining aspect of character must be defined in his reputation to get a real picture of who and what a person is, not only as he appears. In light of this, what does God have to say about our reputation? You see, we really need a character at its foundation. Is a good name enough? Henry Ford once said this, and I'm just going to read my scripture. Henry Ford said, you can't build your reputation on what you're going to do.
All right.
Wow.
In a way, this endeavor is at the heart and core of a number of biblical instructions. That is, faith and works are a dual responsibility of a Christian. I've taught you that. And hopefully when other people ask you that you know enough about it that you can stand and say it is true. Because it is, I don't lie to you. The Bible never says one time that you're saved by anything alone. So when somebody says, well, you don't believe you're saved by grace alone, say no. Because I stand on that right there. You don't believe you're saved by faith alone? Nope, because I stand on that right there. What does the Bible say about faith in the book of James? Faith without works is dead. Well, all you got to do is believe. Listen, you may have been lied to. I want to love you, but I want to help you with truth. More people's going to go to hell over that heresy doctrine than anything else I believe. The fact you say, oh, the preacher said, if I believe, I'm saved. Well, you tell that preacher, he's going to go and be with the devil because that Bible said believes, the devil believes in one God.
Yeah, right. That's
and
right.
Trembles.
That's right.
You see, the act of believing and the fact of saying believing is two different things altogether. When you believe, believing makes you actually do something. That's like love. It's such a cheapened word in our world today. Don't say you love your kids and abuse them.
Right.
Talk down to them and call them fat and ugly or whatever the name may be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, preacher, you abuse your kids because you whip them. That's not what that book says.
Right.
That book says when a father loves you, he chastens you.
Right.
He chastises you. As a matter of fact, he said that right there puts some knowledge into them.
Right.
And what does the knowledge do? It equates something. Wow, if I keep doing that, it's going to keep hurting. I better quit doing that. Because daddy's going to make this hurt until I stop. Malachi yesterday, bless his heart, said no. Hair stands up on the back of my neck. What'd you say? Don't you tell me no. No! And I, pow! I said, don't you tell me no. No! Pow! He started crying. He looked at me. I said, you do it again, and they get harder. You don't tell Paps. No. Mama no. Mimi no. What does it do? Goes to me. No! But no did come out of his mouth.
Right.
It's an understanding.
Right.
And you know God will do us that way? When we misbehave because he loves us.
Right.
You see, faith and works is that dual responsibility. Law and grace are dual factors in salvation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus never come to erase the law. He come to fulfill the law.
Right.
He's better than the law. It's a higher standard than the law.
Right.
Matter of fact, he said, I'm going to deal with your thoughts and your intents of your heart. When a man looks at a woman and lusts after her, he needs to go to the altar and pray because he's committed adultery in his heart.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what that does? That makes this one marriage guy for almost 37 years, Brother Skinner, throw up my hands and say, God, I'm an adulterer. I need you to help me with this.
Right.
Yes, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And I'm not going to ask you if you're a man, if you've lusted or not. We'll just leave it all alone because we've all been pretty well guilty.
Right.
We all need some help, don't we?
Yes, sir.
You don't quit fighting that battle.
Right.
That's when you see great men fall, is when they quit fighting the battle that rages and that war that goes on within them. We all get up every morning and have to deal with our flesh. You've got to put him on the altar
And you've got to crucify him with Christ and say, Lord, I need you to help me because it's important to me that I have a good reputation within and without. And Lord, I'm going to face you because you really know my true character.
Right.
He knows that nature, and we want him to change that. Reputation and character are really dual definitions of what we are on the inside as well as out. From this assessment, reputation should be built on and maintained by an ongoing effort and not perception and deception, wealth, or prestige. Proverbs 21 and verse 1. A good name. You can stand. You can kind of rest your old bony hand. A good name is rather to be chosen. Is to be chosen rather than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. You see, that's why when we come, and I'll jump, try not to jump ahead of myself, God changes us. You may be seated. God changes us. The word name comes from the Hebrew word shem, which designates something as a mark or as a memorial of an individual, and by implication, honor, authority, or character. The King James Version also translates this name as fame. Famous, infamous, name, renown, or report. You see, you're really known by your name. From this verse, we see that a good name, a combination of reputation and character, certainly should outweigh riches, prominence, position, and status. Conversely, a lack in either can leave us in a state of moral and or spiritual poverty, seeking self-worth over godly worth. As an example of this, we can be seen in those who have strived in the political office for a promotion. They attempt to leave an impression of character with the public or a boss. But it is an impression built on a shaky foundation of duplicity. While they may have a good reputation, it is not supported by the real important ingredient, which is character that is earned. Everybody say it's earned.
Earned.
Throughout our lives. Someone once told me, I'm going to make my kids respect me. My response was, no. You have to earn that.
Right.
You can't whip that into children. You have to earn that. They really going to know who you are after a while. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. Let me go ahead and say it while it's on my mind. You might need to go back and take some pictures off your Facebook account.
Amen. Because
what you going to do? Well, no Leroy. We ain't got no Leroy, so I'm helping you out. One day pulls up your name unbeknownst to you because you don't think he's that smart. He's a whole lot smarter than what you think he is. And there you are posing. And you look like Jezebel. And everything's showing. And he goes, Mom? Or Dad? Who's this? Is that you? And hopefully, if there's a picture that somebody happens to show them because you've been smart enough to take it all, delete it, erase it, somebody shows them, you know your mama and your dad used to do ha ha hoo ha ha, that they could go, you know what? Mom's talked to me about that. She's helping me understand that I don't know who that mom is. That's before. That's before Christ. God's worked on her and God's changed her. In the Bible days, it's talking about, you know, let he that has sin cast the first stone.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad we ain't got no throwing stones around here. Yeah. We don't throw rocks and stones.
Right.
I don't care what you used to do and who you used to be. I say amen.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear it. Somebody took a picture of me at work the other day. Here come the boss man and said, did you put out your cone when you parked your truck? I said, no, I was in a hurry, headed to the bathroom, and blah, 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 blah. They got a stupid tone policy. I said, no, it didn't. He said, well, you know you're an example. Next day, a boy told me, he said, you know who took that picture of you and sent that in? I said, I really don't care. He said, it would surprise you. I said, man, I'll be able to breakfast on Friday. And he come in. He said, no, you really want to know it surprised you? I said, man, I don't care. I said, I absolutely do not care.
Right.
You wouldn't believe it. I said, well, I guess you're going to tell me the way it looks, and you've got to tell me, but it's not going to change who it was. I don't care about that. I don't play that game.
Amen.
Right. I'm not going to go try to find that person doing something wrong and take pictures.
All right.
I said, I actually talked to the safety guy, and I know why the cone policy was put in place, because people are backing over and running over stuff, and that cone makes you walk around your truck before you get in it. I said, I ain't run over nothing in a long time.
Well, it was so-and-so. I said, you feel better? I said, still don't care. I'm still going to show up Monday and still be a driver trainer. And I'm still going to do my job.
Right.
My reputation is holding fast. They got 5 years in January that they can go back and look. Have I made mistakes? Yeah. But I ain't killed nobody. I ain't rolled no truck.
Right.
So every once in a while they say, you train so-and-so? I said, uh-huh. Boss didn't give me much to work with on that one. So I'm sad about that one.
You see, when we really look at who we are, there's a stark contrast example that's above us all. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible says He made Himself of no reputation.
Right.
You know what that means? That means He didn't go around going,
that's right.
You know who I am?
That's exactly right.
If you knew who I was, you'd bring all your sick in this city to me.
Right.
He went to a city and healed people, Brother Billy. Whoo! And said, shh.
Yes. Right.
That's our little secret. And you know what the lame man did? Who? He just healed him. Don't tell nobody. I won't. I promise. Hey! Look! I can walk! Y'all laughing at? Was all that funny, honey? She's thinking, boy, he's going to be living for 3 days now. I mean, you know, they're all waiting up for the skin to talk about it. Got leprosy. Their nose is falling off. They can't meet their family. They can't go back home.
Right.
And Jesus touches him. And he makes sure he comes back and says, Lord, I want to thank you. You see, you know what happened to the ten? They was all made well.
Right.
But one came back old. Said, Lord, I want to thank you because I'm not sick anymore. And the priest said I could go back home. And he said, your faith has now made you whole. Limbs started straightening out. Looked like a brand new nose. The vits come back to normal.
Right.
And he ran home and done something the rest of them couldn't do. He kissed his wife.
All right.
Hugged her. And said, they all got to go home. But God said, I was made whole. Because I went back and said, I'm thankful. Let me stop on that. I heard this as we going to focus on the family. A guy said they've studied and actually proved, they've proved this in science, that anxiety and gratefulness cannot coexist in your brain together.
All right.
That means when you're struggling and you're down, oh, you know you get anxious. We all do. If you'll start being thankful. You know what happens? And I can only tell you about my experiences of it. But when I start getting anxious, all of that's because, man, I start looking at the bad. Man, the wife ain't getting along good.
Right.
She called me fat or lazy or whatever, and she didn't. I'm just saying, okay? Boss man cussed me out on the job. The company's slowing down. The dog tried to bite me this morning. And you
You start naming and looking at all the things wrong with you.
Right.
And you know what you do? Inadvertently, you get to feeling worse and seeing more bad. And the old fur won't come.
It's because you got fur. I'm just kidding. I made a few guitars. The car starts knocking around, and then I mean, the whole world is coming down. But if you'll just look up and say, God, I'm glad I got up this morning.
Right.
I don't feel 100, but I got a right mind.
Right.
On your knees, Lord. I didn't have to put Biofreeze on this morning. I feel a little better. Nelson, 56 years old. How about? And I didn't fix supper last night. God, I got a job.
Yeah.
Boss, now he ain't worth nothing. He didn't cuss me out this morning, but Lord, I want you to help my old boss. Let me show that man truth. Let me go hug him.
All right.
That's the Bible, ain't it?
It is.
Salt answer turneth away wrath. I'm still trying to figure that out in marriage, by the way. Almost 37 years. I'm still working on that one. You know, when they say something, you perceive negative, trying to say something good back, and you know, oh, y'all getting quiet on me. Just because we've been 37 years don't mean we're perfect.
Right.
Well, Stan, how long y'all been married?
49.
The golden's coming. What you going to get her for a golden? I was going to say, what more do you want, baby? Woo! You got a reputation, and you got a character. All I want for Christmas is you. Anyway. Jesus made himself of no reputation, taken on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness. Christ, the man, God himself, humbled himself, suffering his right to a godly reputation, or surrendering rather that right, yet still left a legacy of righteousness and character and the reputation as a great human being. You know what? He wasn't going around boasting. His reputation preceded him.
Right.
In Ecclesiastes 7th chapter, gives another example of a good name. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 through 8. This time compared to that of fine ointment, life, health. That's what that good name is talking about here. The chapter starts with a good name is better than precious ointment.
Right.
We started that song this morning about, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Any of y'all got any of that, really? I'm talking about the real deal.
Yeah.
Real silver. I might have some. I don't know if I do or not. And that's being honest. Got some old coins that was my wife's mom. And, you know, back in the day, a lot of them old things was 99% silver. Them old coins.
Mm-hmm.
It's precious. That was means in the Bible days. A way to, it was valuable. Buy food, raiment.
Right.
But it goes on to say that the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. He even talks about that we should mourn at their birth and rejoice at their death.
Right, right.
You know why? Because we was born in sin and shaped into iniquity.
Right.
I remember my little grandson prayed over him and I sure like to hear him speak in tongues. After he passed, they brought a little bottle of solution, a little old solution. Put my grandson in there and I said, oh, he's getting baptized. I said, in the name of Jesus. Preacher, you really that concerned with it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You talking about precious? It's an hour and 27 minutes of the most precious moments. Precious ointment never
really have, we probably for the most part, I mean, I haven't, I don't know if you have. You really bought any real, real expensive cologne on top of real expensive, I haven't. I'll wait till it goes on clearance.
Right.
Black Friday. Buy one, get one free, Route 33. That's me getting some of that right there. But in the Bible days, it was their custom to buy this precious, very valuable ointment that was from the most expensive flowers and all of these things. And, you know, it would be in this box for years. And it was bought for the time of burial. The only people that wore that type of stuff was rich folks. So it was either rich or dead to experience that. But it was precious ointment. And it was Mary that was condemned by the own very followers and disciples of Jesus who broke this very expensive alabaster box on Jesus. And the whole room began to smell. Some said, oh, that should have been, you know, we could have sold that and given money to the poor. They didn't even know what they was doing. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. But you don't understand. You only have a few more moments. I'm no longer going to be with you. You haven't been listening. You don't understand
right.
The power. You don't understand. He didn't walk with him for 33 years. He was born 33 years ago. He only walked with them a short period of time.
Right.
3.5 years or so was his ministry. 33. And he's talking about death.
Right.
You don't know. You don't know what this death is going to mean. You don't know. What this little woman of ill repute is doing.
Right.
You're lost in your own world. You're just a bunch of crazy men. And you're not thinking. You're thinking you've always got tomorrow.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But Mary, she's doing something. Moments are precious. She's feeling like a woman. Something's going to happen. I feel it. I'll have a long time with you. Let me go get that box. It's took me years to earn. Take advantage of this moment. She broke that precious ointment. And she put it on his precious feet. She was one that ran, by the way, on that third day to look at that tomb. That's what that good name was talking about here in Ecclesiastes. It's a better day of our death than our birth. You see, in our birth, we're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. Because of Adam, we're born sinners. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's why it's important that you live for God's parents. And I'm not going to go down a theological rat hole, because I can. It makes people mad. I got to stand on the word. Was there no children in Noah's day? There was a grandpa. Named Noah. There was a daddy named Noah. Was building a boat. You see, there was grandchildren. I heard a story about a mama and a grandma. Papa lied. Can you tell me one more time why that salt pillar is there? That salt pillar is there, baby. Because I stayed too long. Very daughter
It's not, the Bible never says Lot ever sinned. Matter of fact, the Bible said Lot was a righteous man.
Right.
But he got comfortable.
Oh, yes.
In a city. He was a judge at the gate. And he got comfortable. And he got to the place to where his own sons-in-laws wouldn't believe what he said.
The angel said to hurry, God will judge our city. Safety's in the mountains. Gotta move to higher ground. One request! The angel said, don't turn around. Don't you turn around.
I can still hear it ringing today. The message of the cross is once you come and face Him, don't turn around.
Right.
There's people today that I could take you to the graveyard. I could tell you that one. You used to shout in church. But you turned around.
Right.
His grandson's going. Talk about his birthday and leave a beer town. It's great. I remember we used to run yachts. I remember the men when I grew up that I admired because they were so passionate about worship. The day of their death wasn't better than the day of their birth. You see, ointment in this case symbolizes the richness or excellence that is added to a person's state, or it may even represent the anointing oil used to set a person apart, or a thing that set them apart for a different or special job. And we all have that here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God has anointed and gifted all of us to be ministers to the world around about us.
Right.
God don't call everybody a pulpit ministry.
No.
Right.
But don't you ever think you're not a special.
Right.
That's what God has told you.
Right.
Are.
That is right.
Right.
You see, the only difference between me and you is I give it to you as Jesus broke the bread and gave it to the disciples,
yeah,
and they broke the bread and give it to others.
Right.
I can't reach, Robbie, all your friends. I can't reach all dancers. He brought a friend over to play basketball Friday night I'd never seen before.
Right.
And I thought, redneck one and redneck two. Had him some shorts on, about down to here, and cowboy boots on, playing basketball. But you know, only Dan can be a witness to him until he brings them to us.
Right.
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 Amen.
You're a witness on your job.
Oh, yes.
They see you. They see what you look like and what you act like when you get mad. Make sure you show them Jesus.
Right.
The Bible said anger. Somebody said anger.
Amen.
Is okay.
That's right.
That's a natural human emotion.
Right.
To something that's went haywire in our life. Not wife, life. Anger and sin not.
Right.
That's what you do with the anger. God's called us all. We are a special, chosen, royal priesthood, all of us. Verse 8 concludes that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. In human terms, we know at birth, they kind of look so, you know, I mean, when we see them.
Right.
But really, when the birth, there's slime and goo and goop everywhere.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law seen my little angel, my second little angel, my first little wife, my second little angel when she was born. And they brought her in, and she had a birthmark. My wife looked at her and started crying. And she said, my mother-in-law took that little bundle of joy. I'm thinking, the world's wrong with her. My mother-in-law thought the same thing, and she grabbed her and said, that baby is not you. Give her to me. She's beautiful. What I thought, I was kind of looking at the end. God's going to change us. God's going to work on us.
Yes.
listening to me?
Yeah.
And when they come in, you never should look and go, oh, they're so lovely.
I've seen them come in with bad spirits.
Right.
I mean, they didn't see no warnings on them, but I seen them on them.
Yeah.
They had double attitude all over them.
And I smile because I'm thinking, you know what? Just one touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And horns start going back into your head.
Right.
And the wings start coming out.
And they start changing right before your eyes.
Right. Right.
Whoo! You know what it's called? It's called the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh. And yeah. He changes old, nasty, old, dirty thinking people into good, clean. Oh, He changes.
Mm. Yeah.
These babies are born with no knowledge, no understanding, no wisdom, no reputation, and no character. Only in death, after a lifelong endeavor, do we have the total life experiences to establish a good or a bad name and reputation. And this occurs because the character that we have gained, or rather failed to gain in the process. That's why we come to church.
Right.
He's still working on me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really a church if the people aren't being changed. It's a social club.
Right.
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 This is a hospital.
Yeah.
You come in broken.
Yeah.
And you get mended.
Yeah.
If you haven't been mended, you're not listening to the doctor's orders.
Right.
You're walking away and going, no, I'm fine, doc. No, yeah. But you got cancer growing in you. That's why you can't eat right. No, I'll be all right. My stomach is just hurting.
No, there's a cancer in you. Let me show you this x-ray.
Right.
And if you let this keep growing, it's going to kill you. Mm-hmm. We call it leprosy. We call it sin. Somebody posted a picture years ago. It's this young lady, and she's so beautiful. And she's modestly covered. It's the only reason I retook a picture of it. Laying in bed, and she has her arm over here. And there's this devil-looking creature laying in her arms. It's got a smile, but it looks like Satan himself. Or vice versa. I can't remember if it's a young man laid with a devil woman or whichever. But I took a picture of that and I thought, oh, so many people are in bed with the devil and don't even know it.
Right. All right.
Man. Preaching makes me feel good. You know, really the only time I see that the Lord's concerned with our feelings, the Bible talks about the feelings of our infirmities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not emotional.
You see, if you let God change your character, your emotions will follow.
Mm-hmm. We were sitting at the table this morning, and one of the girls said, beside when I wake up early in the morning, bad attitude. And I said, never forget, your attitude is your choice. It's always your choice. I don't care what kind of hell you went through, Brother Billy. Your attitude is your choice.
Right.
You can go to the death, the person you love the most. The attitude is your choice. Mm-hmm. You can say, why, God? Look up and say, thank you, God, for a blessing.
It's an hour and 27-minute blessing in one case. It's 40 years. My dad lived 40 years.
I wasn't with him 40 years. I'm only 17. But I begin to look at the blessing. The good thing that God gave.
Right.
Not the bad thing that Satan takes. Attitude is your choice.
Right.
Character. God's reputation. Remember, when you die, there may be a big stone, and there may be a big to-do. Someone said it like this, live as though the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral.
Yeah. Right.
Well, honey, babe, if I'm the preacher, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
A lot of things I haven't said. I don't go to funerals and put most people in heaven.
Right.
And I don't put none in hell. And there's some that I say, you know what? That was a saint.
Right.
because they lived their life accordingly. Did they have issues? Oh yeah, but they took them to the cross.
Yes.
And buried some great people. Right. Buried some great people. There was one that was just, she was a mess. She came to church in her last years. Blind, diabetic. She cried, those blind eyes, she cried. Almost every message in every service for years. Come from the old building, we got this, and she was so happy. God, so good to us, Pastor. Wish I could see that building. Wish I could see you. Pastor, me and my husband want to buy songbooks. I said, well, okay, that's what y'all want to do. She'd give. We bought this building, one of her sons that was well off, from us a check to help buy new chairs. I mean, the time we opened the key on this door and it was ours, until a few weeks or months later, this church changed totally. A year before, we didn't have $1,000 in the bank, and that's being honest.
Right.
And that year, we opened the key on this door. And March was our first service. We had paid $20,000 down and didn't borrow $1. And done about $5,000 or $6,000 worth of remodeling in the next little while. Brother Junior painted these here, Sister Tina and them, and the ladies done these here. Tina's idea, she's a good decorator. And man, we ended up with purple chairs and new carpet and all kind of stuff. You know why? God was faithful.
Yes.
But I never will forget taking her to the baptismal pool. She was so feeble. A couple of guys helped her up over the ladder, and we got her down in the water, and I baptized her. And I turned and looked at her husband, who was struggling. And I said, brother, what about you? He was struggling. Preacher, you would have baptized him in that situation, smoking? I sure would have. Because I baptized him in faith.
Right.
You go ahead and get him cleaned up before you put him in the pool, okay? That's all right. Between you and God.
Go ahead.
Out of baptism. A few months later, they called and said, Pop's in the hospital in intensive care. They're coming, so I'm going to hurry. I watched him pull the plug in Plant City Hospital on him. I said, God, I was praying. I wanted one more chance, God. I'll get him in the pool. I promise, God, I'll get him in the pool. And I'll do my best to pray through with the Holy Ghost. He never had another chance. You know, we see, and I'm going to hurry, most of these guys that come to Jesus didn't have a good reputation. But we see a positive side in the book of Acts, chapter 6, where the apostles tell the church to choose 7 men to become deacons. One of the criteria was that they had to be of a good reputation. Somebody say good reputation.
Good reputation.
The Greek word there means they had to be mature men. They had to be a witness to testify. The King James also renders it mature old. That means to give evidence, bear record, obtain a good, honest report, to be well reported of. Hopefully that's what we are today. There's a lot of people that we see, their name, Smith. A lot of people's last name was Smith. A lot of times Smith had iron workers in their reputation. The people that worked, you know, with horseshoes, and they was called a Smith. See someone named Melissa. You know what Melissa means? Bee. Probably didn't mean they had a beekeeper in their family tree. People just like names. Our names aren't a representative of our entire lifestyle, reputation, or character. They're meant to identify us, not identify our existence. Benjamin Franklin declared glass, china, and reputation, I'm closing, are easily cracked. And never mend well. Remember, Benjamin Franklin, glass, china, and reputation are easily cracked. And never mend well, but with God. I'm telling you, with God. we know that's not an issue.
Ah, woo! There was a man, and his name was Saul.
Right.
And he had an encounter.
Right.
And the Lord said, you're now Saul.
All right, right.
You see, Saul meant something. And now when he met Jesus, his surname being Saul meant something. And now God changed it to Paul, which meant little. How about Jacob? Oh, I'm in a hurry. Jacob. Jacob was called a heel grabber. He always wanted first. I want that. I worry about me.
Right.
He had an encounter. He had a dream. And the Lord got a hold of him.
Somebody said the Lord got a hold of him.
Lord got a hold of him.
No, preacher, he got a hold of the Lord. Oh, I beg to differ with you. That encounter would have never happened until God sent the angel down to him. And you know what he did? The angel said, la 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 la, I'll change you, la la la. I'll see you later. Jacob said, no, you don't, buddy. Hold on. You're not leaving me the way you found me.
Right.
I'm tired of being who I am.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to meet my brother, and he's probably going to kill me. And I want to be ready to go. So, no, 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 no. You're just not going to leave me with a casual situation. And he grabbed a hold of that angel. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That angel said, ha! You just don't grab a hold of me. I'm not your brother and your mother and your daddy. Angel, can I still have a blessing? I still want to be changed. The rest of his days, but he was no longer self-centered little Jacob boy, always worried about himself. He was now Israel. You know what Israel means? It's what they still are today when the whole world turns against them. They're still blessed. They're still blessed by God! Now, not all of them is going to be saved unless they really know who Jesus is. Aren't you glad you had that little change? Revelations 3 and 12. He says that we receive a new name. And we become overcomers. Somebody say, I'm an overcomer.
Overcomer.
Let's all stand. Interesting, the Greek word for this new name, orma, means a name or title designating authority or character. That's why the seven sons of Sceva come and said, well, I'm going to get some of this. And the devil said, Jesus I know. And oh yeah, there's another one named Paul. They didn't say Saul. Them devils knew he was changed. He wasn't Saul no more. He was Paul. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?
Right. Well, I'm an overcomer.
Yes,
right. Because I come to you in the name of Jesus, and it's not by Paul's God, it's by my God.
I've met him, and I know him, and now my name is a new name, and it's written down in glory. I'm no longer a deceiver like Jacob. The famous UCLA basketball coach, John Wooden, said this. Probably said it best. He said, worry more about your character than your reputation. Character is what you are.
Right.
Reputation is just what other people think you are.
Right.
When you face God, He's not going to be concerned about your reputation. He's going to be concerned about who you really are. Aren't you glad you put Him at the altar?
Yes.
And you surrendered Him?
Yes.
And you got up a new name, and a new man, and a new woman, and I'm not who I am. I don't care who you need to run with. I don't care about, you need to tell me about all the things for your good. I'm going to say, God is so good to us, but I really don't care where you came from. Amen. If you come from a Christian house, it makes no difference if you were born. Oh, I don't care where you was born then, and your mama tried to kill you.
Yeah.
Maybe your mama was looking for an abortion, and there's people that are living today. I heard them on Go Tell Your Family that it was abortion, and it went bad, and God spared their life. Oh, what an honor it is today to serve God when somebody, my own mama, tried to kill me, but God saved me.
Yeah.
Or if he's born in the president's house, when you face God, he's not going to say, what's your last name? He's not going to say, are you a Brian? Are you a Texter? Are you a Skinner? Are you a Hunt? Are you a Smith? Are you whatever your last name is? He's not going to ask you. He's going to look at his book. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And he's going to look. And it's going to say, woo, ha ha! There's a new name written out of glory. And it's mine.
Yeah.
I see here, Charles William Texter, Jesus Christ. You see, that was my second birth that I can't forget. I had one, oh, maybe 6 years ago. I don't remember that one. But there's one that I do remember. That's what I'm going to put on. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want you to change. I want you to define me. This altar's open right now. Come down to the front if you will, just whatever you feel. We're not pressing you. We don't want to press you in any way. We want you to understand that God loves you. He cares about you. Thank you.
no greater joy than to know that my children walk.
Can't be free. Love you, appreciate you, Robbie.
Good to see you. You know you're not a visitor anymore. This is home church for you, Robbie. Home church. So, Lisa, good to see you. Shake hands with me, Billy.